It's the KVMR Evening News for Friday, January 20th, 2012. Coming up after the news headlines, Free Speech Radio News will have a report on the Occupy Federal Courts protests commemorating the second anniversary of the Supreme Court's Citizens United ruling that opened up campaign spending limits. Christopher Martinez will have a report on the struggle for single-payer health care in California, and FSRN will report on the Justice Department's shutdown of the file-sharing website Mega Upload. We'll close out the newscast with Gary Chu reviewing the movie Shame. Coming up at 6:30, it's this week's edition of Left, Right, and Center, and at 7 o'clock, it's Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman. I'm Felton Pruitt. Now here are today's news headlines. Reuters reports that the Supreme Court handed Texas Republicans a partial victory in a partisan fight over election redistricting that has erupted after a huge increase in the state's Hispanic population. Throwing out a set of election maps that favored Democrats and minorities, the justices today sent the case back to a lower court, forcing further review of a matter with a limited timetable for resolution as 2012 elections are fast approaching. In its first ruling on political boundary drawing based on the 2010 U.S. Census, the Supreme Court unanimously rejected interim election maps that had been drawn up by federal judges in San Antonio. The court said judges' maps did not sufficiently take into account an earlier set of maps that were drawn up by the Texas state legislature that favored Republicans. Fox News reports that congressional leaders announced today that they are putting controversial anti-online piracy legislation on the back burner amid widespread objections from the tech community and others. Senate Democratic leader Harry Reid said he will postpone an upcoming vote on his chamber's proposal. Representative Lamar Smith, Republican from Texas, chairman of the House Judiciary Committee, quickly followed suit, saying consideration of a similar House bill would be postponed until there is wider agreement on a solution. Earlier in the week, major websites and internet companies protested the proposal. Wikipedia blacked out its site for a day while Google circulated a petition that generated more than 7 million signatures. The White House also raised concerns about the proposal over the weekend, though later claimed the president was not taking sides. Reid said in a statement that, in light of recent events, he would postpone a test vote that had been set for next Tuesday. He said he's optimistic lawmakers can reach a compromise in the coming weeks. The Sacramento Bee reports that California's unemployment rate fell to 11.1% in December, a drop of 0.2%. It's the lowest statewide unemployment rate since April of 2009, when it was 10.9%. The numbers suggest continued improvement in the job market. But payroll job growth, which is calculated from a different survey and is considered a more reliable barometer, was less encouraging. Only 10,700 jobs were added during the month, a relatively modest figure. On the other hand, the Employment Development Department said it had made a huge upward revision in November's payroll numbers to a new total of 24,700, and job growth has been picking up momentum the last few months. Sacramento's unemployment rate was unchanged at 10.9%. The region actually lost 3,700 jobs during December, mainly in construction. Retail hiring for the holidays was slower than usual, a marked contrast from a stronger-than-expected November hiring binge. Overall, economists said they were encouraged about the trends in the California job market. The Los Angeles Times reports that Etta James, the earthy blues and R&B singer whose anguished vocals convinced generations of listeners that she would rather go blind than see her love leave, died this morning, her son Donto James reported. She was 73 years old. Etta James died of complications from leukemia at a hospital in Riverside, California. Etta had been in failing health for years. Court records in the singer's probate case show she also suffered from dementia and kidney failure. Her two sons had been in a court battle with their stepfather over conservatorship of her $1 million estate. Doctors announced in December that she had chronic leukemia. Perhaps the quintessential R&B diva, James, who was born and lived much of her life in Los Angeles, was equally at home singing unadulterated blues, searing R&B, and sophisticated jazz, the latter receiving special attention in her recordings over the last decade. Her voice influenced generations of singers, from Tina Turner to Bonnie Raitt to Christina Aguilera. Beyoncé carefully studied James before portraying her in the loosely historical 2008 film Cadillac Records. She was adored by rock's elite, including the Rolling Stones, who drafted her in 1979 as the opening act on their U.S. tour. The Grateful Dead teamed up with her for one of their legendary New Year's Eve shows in 1983. Etta was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 1993. Ubinet reports that Occupy Nevada County has organized an event tomorrow in which a coalition of local groups are hosting a festival and teach-in in Nevada City as part of a National Day of Action in coordination with other events that will take place nationwide. On Saturday, January 21st, it will be the second anniversary of the Supreme Court's decision, Citizens United versus the Federal Elections Commission, which overturned decades of campaign finance law and allows unlimited corporate funds to flood the election system. The purpose of these events is to raise awareness and educate people about how corporations dominate the political process and to build momentum for a constitutional amendment to abolish corporate personhood and overturn the controversial Citizens United ruling. The festival will begin at 10:30 a.m. tomorrow morning with people of all ages gathering at the Nevada City United Methodist Church for shadow puppets, music stories, food displays, and discussion. At 11:30, there's going to be a colorful parade down Broad Street to Robeson Plaza, where there will be a rally with street theater, speakers, music, song, and dance. Now, if it's raining hard, the parade will be symbolic and short, and the events will center at the church. There's to be a two-hour tech-in beginning at 1 o'clock tomorrow afternoon in which local speakers will explain the Citizens United decision and its implications, the concept of corporate personhood, and the movement to amend the Constitution to abolish corporate personhood and overturn Citizens United. There is no charge for this event. The weather forecast this evening for Nevada City, Grass Valley, and the foothills is calling for rain. The rain could be heavy at times with a low of 40. It's going to be breezy with wind gusts as high as 39 miles an hour. Chance of precipitation is 100%, and new rainfall amounts between 1 and 2 inches are possible. On Saturday in the foothills, showers with a high near 44 and a low around 31, with wind gusts as high as 23 miles an hour. Chance of precipitation is 80%. New rainfall amounts between a quarter and a half an inch are possible. Sunday's calling for showers with a high near 44 and a low of 33. And on Monday in the foothills, rain likely with a high near 44. The chance of precipitation is 60%. In Sacramento this evening, rain with a low of 48 with wind gusts as high as 43 miles an hour. Chance of precipitation is 90%. New rainfall amounts between a half and three quarters of an inch are possible. On Saturday, showers likely, mostly cloudy with a high near 57 and a low around 36, wind gusts getting as high as 24 miles an hour. On Sunday, 40% chance of showers, cloudy with a high near 56 and a low of 39. And on Monday in the Sacramento area, there's a 50% chance of rain, mostly cloudy with a high near 55. In Truckee this evening, rain before 10 p.m., then rain and snow between 10 and 1, then snow after 1 a.m. The snow level is going to start at 6,800 feet, lowering to 5,800 feet after midnight. The low will be 31 with wind gusts as high as 45 miles an hour. 100% chance of precipitation with new snow accumulation of 7 to 11 inches possible. On Saturday, snow showers with a high of 31 and a low of 19. Wind gusts getting up to 35 miles an hour. 100% chance of precipitation. New snow accumulation of 2 to 4 inches possible. On Sunday, a 50% chance of snow. Cloudy with a high near 40 and a low of 22 with wind gusts as high as 30 miles an hour. 1 to 3 inches possible. And on Monday, in the Truckee area, snow likely mainly before 10 a.m. with a high near 35. That's the KVMR Evening News Headlines. I'm Felton Pruitt.
With the U.S. presidential election ramping up, corporate spending on the race is on full display, with super PAC groups unleashing millions of dollars on ad campaigns. This weekend marks the second anniversary of the Supreme Court's Citizens United case, the decision that paved the way for outside groups to spend unlimited amounts of money in elections. To mark the anniversary, demonstrators across the country are protesting. Occupy the Courts actions were scheduled at more than 100 federal courthouses, as well as the Supreme Court in Washington. FSRN's Michael Lawson reports.
A smallish crowd of 200 or so rallied outside the U.S. Supreme Court Friday in the name of a large idea, a constitutional amendment. The landmark Citizens United decision, which struck down campaign finance laws limiting corporate and union contributions, reinvigorated the debate over corporate personhood and corporate speech. Bill Drake of Minneapolis came to the action at the Supreme Court because of his feelings about Citizens United. To him, the decision is about more than campaign finance, but the very nature of the democracy.
Congress has a right to protect democracy by ensuring campaigns are fair, and so they can make reasonable restrictions about contributions and what can happen during campaigns, and the Supreme Court needs to recognize that that is very important to the preservation of democracy.
The action at the Supreme Court is the second major action in Washington aligned with the Occupy movement this week. Occupy participants from various locations marched on the Capitol and congressional offices Tuesday for Occupy Congress to mark the members' return to Washington. Brenda Barnes of Santa Monica, California, attended Occupy Congress and also spent 2 weeks in Zuccotti Park, home of Occupy Wall Street. She says actions should happen every day if necessary in as many places as possible.
We've got to get the people out into the streets, and we, you know, we outnumber them 150 million to 400. But if we're at home watching television, they win. They have the money.
Occupy the courts was the idea of a volunteer with Move to Amend. The multi-ethnic and multiracial coalition has local chapters in 70 communities across the country. Anyone can start a Move to Amend chapter in their community, and the movement continues to grow. David Cobb, national spokesperson for the group and 2004 Green Party presidential candidate, says the actions at courthouses were inspired by Dr. Cornel West's October arrest on the steps of the Supreme Court, as well as the Occupy movement. He says protests at local courthouses are really at the heart of this movement.
We did not try to get people to get on buses and come down to Washington, D.C. We've seen that played out in the anti-war movement, in the healthcare debate. And frankly, we don't think that Washington, D.C. is the real seat of power. We think the real seat of power is in our local communities where we actually live, work, and play.
Cobb says more than 50 municipalities, organizations, universities, and unions have adopted resolutions or voted to oppose corporate personhood and money as speech. He expects 60 more resolutions in the coming year. Cobb says the goal is to make a position on corporate personhood a major issue for candidates in the November election.
It is going to take a broad and deep social movement that takes itself seriously, that is actually committed to the idea of a democratic republic, and is committed to protecting the individual rights of our citizens.
A planned occupation at a federal courthouse in New York City was thwarted when the city denied the permit for security reasons. A suit to challenge the decision failed and the protest was moved to Zuccotti Park. Michael Lawson, FSRN, Washington.
Out of the rain, under the shelter, I've been so long home where the sun don't shine. Standing at the crossroads, oh, could have went either way. But now I found you, and the storm is behind. Out of the rain,
the struggle for single-payer health care in California has been a long one, with a ballot initiative and a series of bills in the state legislature, along with vetoes from then-Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger, who called it socialized medicine. The latest version of the single-payer health care bill, Senate Bill 810, is being carried by Democratic Senator Mark Leno of San Francisco.
This was one of the jobs left unaccomplished by Eleanor and Franklin Roosevelt. So it goes back many, many decades. President Truman tried to move it forward. President Nixon tried to move it forward. And here we are today, of course, major accomplishment by President Obama 2 years ago. But it does still allow 8% of the population to be not covered for their health care needs. So this is in the continuum of a very long struggle.
Leno is pushing a measure that would start the process of creating a single-payer system, what supporters call Medicare for All, in California. He presented his bill in the Senate Appropriations Committee, where supporters packed a large hearing room to voice their support.
I think it's time we caught up with the rest of the world, both in quality and in taking profits out of health care.
I would never take a broken leg to my insurance agent. He doesn't provide health care. He only collects money.
I would really appreciate that California would support this bill, SB 810, so that the money that we spend on health care goes into health care and not into other organizations such as insurance companies.
The measure is opposed by the health insurance industry and some business groups, including the California Chamber of Commerce. Ken DeVore spoke for the National Federation of Independent Business in opposition to the bill.
A study that was done on the last measure that went through the legislature and was vetoed said it would cost nearly a quarter million jobs in California if it was implemented with the imposition of all these new costs on businesses. And with 2.2 million unemployed in California right now, we just can't afford something like this at this point in time with an economy that's still faltering.
Opponents say single-payer health care will cost $200 billion, but supporters say that's the same $200 billion we're already spending on a health care system that leaves millions uninsured. Opponents also say the focus now should be on implementing the federal Affordable Care Act that will largely take effect in 2014. Leno says that bill will still leave 3 million Californians uninsured. In the end, the Senate Appropriations Committee scheduled Leno's bill for a vote on Thursday. Counting the Democratic committee members who spoke in favor of the bill, Leno has to get one more vote, either from Committee Chair Christine Kehoe or from Senate President Pro Tem Daryl Steinberg. If the measure passes out of committee and wins passage in the legislature, it will still need approval from the governor and ultimately from voters at the ballot box. Reporting from the state capitol, I'm Christopher Martinez.
The Justice Department has shut down one of the world's most popular file-sharing sites and arrested several of its executives just 24 hours after websites went dark to protest anti-piracy legislation currently being considered by Congress. The seizure of MegaUpload.com triggered a massive retaliation from the hacker group Anonymous, who temporarily shut down the websites of the FBI, the Justice Department, and the U.S. Copyright Office. Anonymous also targeted entertainment industry leaders, including the Recording Industry Association of America and the Motion Picture Association of America. FSRN's Alice Olstein reports from Washington.
Four executives of MegaUpload.com were arrested Friday morning and are being held without bail in New Zealand, charged by the U.S. government with racketeering, copyright infringement, and money laundering. There are warrants out for the arrests of several others associated with the file-sharing site, who still remain at large. Ira Rothkin, a lawyer for MegaUpload, told the Washington Post the Justice Department did not grant the executives due process, and he's confident the site will eventually be cleared of the charges. MegaUpload is officially based in Hong Kong, but leased servers in the U.S. The site claims to have more than 150 million registered users, who back up their personal data, share music and movies, and transfer large files around the globe. The Justice Department says the site has cost copyright holders more than $500 million, while its executives earned more than $175 million in illegal profits through ad revenue and selling premium memberships. The FBI enlisted the help of the governments of New Zealand, Austria, Hong Kong, Germany, England, Canada, and the Philippines in this crackdown. but many users say they only uploaded original and legal content and are turning to Twitter to vent their frustration over losing their personal files. Some are even threatening to sue the government. But Jonathan Band, an intellectual property lawyer in Washington, D.C., says they don't have much legal recourse.
To the extent that innocent people were injured by virtue of the forfeiture, the remedies available against the government are, you know, there really aren't any.
Band says the billions of files will likely be held as evidence for the entirety of the trial, which could take several years.
There is a fair question, and I think it's an unresolved question, whether you can be criminally liable when you aren't the person who infringed, but you simply are someone who assisted the other person in infringing. There's issues about aiding and abetting. I mean, but there are a lot of complicated legal issues here that I think would be breaking new ground.
On Thursday night, the hacker group Anonymous retaliated for the mega upload shutdown with what might be its largest action to date, temporarily disabling the websites of both government agencies, including the FBI and the Defense Department, and big players in the entertainment industry, like the Recording Industry Association of America and the Motion Picture Association of America. Two bills in Congress, the Stop Online Piracy Act and the Protect IP Act, or SOPA and PIPA for short, have also triggered an international backlash. Open Internet advocates say the legislation would legalize government censorship. Now, the Justice Department's actions against Mega Upload have some experts, including Art Brodsky with Public Knowledge, wondering why SOPA and PIPA are necessary.
The whole purpose, or stated purpose, between the Stop Online Piracy Act and the Protect Intellectual Property Act was to go after these, quote, foreign rogue websites. Well, here you have a site which the U.S. government determined was a foreign rogue website. They went to court. They got an indictment. They worked with the New Zealand law enforcement. They sent the FBI down there, and they busted people. So if they can do that, why do they need a new law?
Brodsky says the new bills go beyond what is legally necessary to combat Internet piracy.
The problem with those bills is that private parties could basically do what the FBI did. You know, you could have a company taking it, trying to get a court order to have someone shut down a website.
Though Mega Upload is down, a number of file sharing and cloud computing sites are still up and running. And the nature of the Internet allows users to create infinite ways to store and send both copyrighted and public domain materials. For that reason, Jonathan Band says any federal crackdown on Internet piracy, with or without SOPA and PIPA, is misguided.
All the activity that the entertainment industry is concerned about will continue. It will just shift to another site. And that's why, at some point, a lot of these actions are somewhat futile. At the end of the day, it's a business problem. But they're looking at it as a legal problem. Rather than fight the Internet, they need to find a way to use it.
In the wake of protests on and offline, political backing for the bills has plummeted this week, with many supporters and co-sponsors withdrawing their support. On Friday morning, Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid said he would postpone Tuesday's scheduled vote on PIPA. Moments later, House Judiciary Committee Chair Lamar Smith officially put SOPA on hold. Meanwhile, the four Mega Upload executives in custody will have another hearing in Auckland, New Zealand on Monday, and could be extradited to the U.S. for prosecution. Alice Olstein, FSRN, Washington.
And now, KVMR presents a movie review from Gary Chu.
You'd think seeing this film way back in 2011 that I'd probably forgotten most of it by now, but since it has such an out-of-the-ordinary theme, it's kept itself more clearly in my mind than maybe I'd really like for it to. Its title is Shame. No, I said shame, not Shane. Shame is rated NC-17, and nowhere do you ever see an image of Alan Ladd on a horse. How could it be directed by anyone else except David Cronenberg, the man who gave us such heartwarming motion pictures as the first film titled Crash, A History of Violence, Eastern Promises, Naked Lunch, Dead Ringers, Scanners, Videodrome, Rabid, Existence, The Fly, and another favorite, They Came From Within. But back to Shame. What you get here are bare breasts, pudenda of both genders, fleeting glimpses of Michael Fassbender's unfettered package, and bodacious but genitalia out of the frame sex play. It all shows up just quite a lot in Shame for those who can handle loveless, self-absorbed coitus with serial partners, 99% of it hetero. There's also more than enough of, if you will, self-love bravely implied in the film. Fassbender is a busy boy. He's also currently in a movie called A Dangerous Method, displaying there his Jungian method of acting as a professional fellow named Carl. Mr. Fassbender's character in Shame is Brandon, a sex addict, if you haven't already guessed. But putting the cherry on top of this sex sundae is Carey Mulligan as Sissy. As his sibling, Sissy is a bit younger and has more issues than a porcupine has quills. Sissy's biggest problem, and her brother's as well, is that they have sex with lots of people, but more to the point, with each other, too. I don't want to say out loud the word we use to describe such carryings-on, even though the late, great George Carlin could have easily spewed it on a live broadcast without so much as taking a wound. Miss Mulligan is stellar in the sister part. Her scene, done in almost one take of slowly singing all of New York, New York in the lounge of a small contemporary New York City club, approaches the mesmerizing. It's one of Shame's best. With Shame, however, Mulligan seems to be slipping onto sort of a Jodie Foster-like victim track, that despite Carey being known for playing much more agreeable characters than the mighty Miss Foster. At a fast pace, Mulligan has been showing up often in good films over recent years. Also in 2011, she was in Drive, and in 2010, Wall Street, Money Never Sleeps, and Never Let Me Go. She was nominated for an Oscar playing the lead in the excellent 2009 film, An Education. Mulligan and Fassbender both have received several nominations for their performances in Shame, although the film really belongs to Fassbender. It seems the lank, muscular actor was almost destined to have gotten the part of Brandon, what with seeing him play the role of the late Bobby Sands in the gaunt and excruciating film Hunger. That's Steve McQueen's 2008 picture about up-close conflict between Northern Irish captives and their British loyalist prison guards. Fassbender, when only partially clothed in either movie, may be the skinniest yet most svelte string bean in the garden. He's outstanding in Shame, and that's in spite of it not being possible to care for his debauched character. Depraved almost as much as Cronenberg's aforementioned Crash, Shame's subtle message, which doesn't come until its final seconds, is how especial love and respect are to a bonded relationship. You have to keep yourself focused on the faces of the actors doing this last scene on a subway in order to pick up on it, but it's there. Cronenberg has given Shame this very fleeting but powerful payoff, but it's a good one, even for a movie that's packed with moments that are bound to generate unease for anyone who has the courage to see it. At present, the guy with this voice is using it to suggest a reasonable amount of caution be employed when determining whether or not to see Shame. I'm Gary Chu, down in the Valley.
Well, that's going to do it for our newscast for this evening. The KVMR Evening News is produced by the staff and volunteers of KVMR Radio. We'd like to thank Paul Emery and Gary Chu for their help in preparing this evening's newscast. Coming up next, it's this week's edition of Left, Right, and Center, and at 7 o'clock, it's Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman. For everyone here at KVMR, I'm Felton Pruitt. Have a wonderful weekend.